WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. The Thanksgiving travel rush has begun. About 72 million people are expected to hit the road, according to AAA. And CBS's Chris Van Cleef reports the airports will also be jam-packed.
The potentially record-setting holiday stretch, with more than 31 million expected to fly for Thanksgiving, is starting with some travel troubles, thanks to storms on both coasts and air traffic control staffing issues in the New York City area, prompting thousands of flight delays.
And the weather system that hit hard out west this week, that bomb cyclone, caused heavy downpours and flooding. Julie Gold lives in Yuba County, California. She says her backyard looks like a river.
Like the first step, I'm soaked. My feet are soaked. And I'm like, okay, this is a problem.
Overseas now, where a powerful Israeli strike has hit Lebanon's capital. The BBC's Hugo Bechega is in Beirut.
A massive operation happening to remove the rubble from the site. This is a densely populated district, the Basra area in central Beirut. There is a lot of damage in nearby buildings.
At least 11 people were killed. President-elect Trump is filling his cabinet. CBS's Bradley Blackburn with who he's tapped for some key roles.
Among them, Scott Bessent, a billionaire investor and hedge fund manager as Secretary of the Treasury. He'd be key to the president-elect's plan for tariffs on many foreign-made goods. Bessent is openly gay and would be the first gay cabinet member to serve in a Republican administration if confirmed. Trump also announced former Congressman Dr. Dave Weldon as his pick to run the CDC, Dr. Jeanette Neshawat, a Fox News medical contributor, as U.S. Surgeon General, and Dr. Marty McCary as FDA Commissioner.
Women's pro soccer crowns a champion today.
It's the Orlando Pride against the Washington Spirit for the title. Mira Emma heads an all-female grounds crew for the game in Kansas City.
It's an honor. It's an absolute honor to, one, have the championship here, but also to be part of something so special.
The title game caps a strong season for the National Women's Soccer League, record attendance topping 2 million, and a new move by the owner of the Spirit, Michelle Kang, to donate $30 million to U.S. soccer and its programs over the next 5 years. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Are you heading to the movies this weekend? Are you Team Wicked or Gladiator, or both, which is being called Glicked? The two movies came out yesterday and are expected to revive the fall box office. And while they did draw millions of dollars in Thursday previews domestically, they fell short of what Barbie and Oppenheimer, which, remember, was called Barbenheimer, made in preview sales last year. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. An update on a controversial project in northern Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources has given energy company Enbridge permit approvals to reroute its controversial Line 5 pipeline. It goes through tribal lands. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
The DNR's approval allows Enbridge Energy to begin preparations for the rerouting project. Attorney Stephanie Sosi with Earth Justice represents the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Tribe, whose lands have been directly affected by Line 5 for years.
So this is not a foregone conclusion that Enbridge is going to have this pipeline operating. There's a lot of processes, there's a lot of approvals, and this is just one of them. And we're ready to stand with the band and figure out ways to make sure that whatever approvals there are, that they comply with the law.
She explains the current line is illegally trespassing on tribal lands, and Enbridge's solution is to add 41 miles to reroute it, which would still have dire consequences in the event of an oil spill. A pending lawsuit by the tribe to have the line completely removed from its lands awaits a federal court decision that could halt the project entirely. But attorney Evan Feinauer with Clean Wisconsin says that debate misses the bigger picture by ignoring the current climate threats and their generational consequences.
I just hope that people can hold that long-term view in their heads. And
he says Clean Wisconsin will take legal action to challenge the DNR issued permits for Line 5 and ask that construction be paused until it's resolved. Enbridge says the rerouting project would create more than 700 jobs, many for tribal members, and provide millions in tax revenue to the state. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, lots of clouds and a high near 43. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 35. Mostly cloudy and a high near 50 for Sunday. Sunday night, slight chance of rain, a low around 42. And rain is likely for Monday with a high near 49.
Right now, 35.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the weekend's news and we'll be joined by Dr. Kristen Lierley in hour number two. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
November 23rd, 2024. If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the WAUK studios in Radio Park on Victory Avenue. I am joined by the mighty Max Martinson on the board. Max, how are you this morning?
I'm a little tired, but I got my last major project of the semester finished up yesterday, so...
That's fantastic. And was that last major project what we talked about on the show with the letters to Santa?
No, so another that'll one. Be... That's the technically the last project okay. that I have, but it's the last major one for MATC now. So.
Sounds good. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you, sir.
No more academic stress until after Thanksgiving holiday, so you can relax. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of more projects. We still have a couple of like final exams as well, but in terms of multi-week projects going yeah. on, that'll be the last one. So
sounds great. Well, terrific. And my guest of honor this morning is my friend and neighbor Ron Gulotta, the interim dean at UWM at Waukesha. Ron, how are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. And you sound great. So terrific. And Ron actually has quite a crew of guests that'll be talking about Corby's Last Call that'll take place on Thursday, May 22nd of 2025. But they want to promote this, and they're also looking for people to participate and as well as share memories about the 58-year history of this university here in Waukesha. We'll be acting locally, thinking globally, talking about a recycling project in Louisville, a Kansas farmer calling for a food revolution, and one way we can truly make America great again through farming. And then we're going to honor victims of the Waukesha Christmas Parade here on the third anniversary and the new memorial dedication at Greedy Park that took place last Thursday, right at the moment of when the attack started 3 years ago. And the whole ceremony giving more proof to our motto, Waukesha Strong. And then the Carol Minute will honor all conference honors from the Pioneer football team, who ended the season by taking the old musket back from Carthage with a 27-7 victory. And so much more city news throughout the show. Excuse me. So, but of course, we're gonna start with the main event here. The inspiration for today's show came right across the street from me in our beloved Banting Park. And that, again, is my friend and neighbor, Ron Gulotta, who's been an academician with the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee at Waukesha for the past 20-plus years. And this past year was named interim dean, the same year that the school announced that they will be closing their doors in 2025 after 58 years. And while the doors may be closing, the legacy and the several lifetimes of happy memories and the impact on our community will continue to live on. And Ron is here to tell us about that, especially with the closing event, Corby's Last Call. Ron, can you tell us who you have recruited to join our conversation this morning? I've all the names here.
But... Do so.
Great. Go ahead.
So I'm joined here in our boardroom on campus with Margaret Millspaugh, who was a former student and a former employee here at UW-Waukesha. And I'm also joined by Ann Mitchell Moore, who began her career here at UW-Waukesha and went on to become one of our instructors in communications and still is today. So those are my two guests with me here in the room.
Terrific. Happy to have you here. And I know we'll have some callers from, I guess, your team, for lack of a better term, throughout the show, and really, really excited to hear from them later on. So, but I guess we'll go ahead, Ron. You're about to say something.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's start with the main event, why we're here and what to, and Corby's Last Call. Go ahead, Ron. Take it away.
So, as you said, in the context, the Waukesha campus is on the hill here, is closing in May, June of this year. And our last class will finish out in the spring semester at the end of May. As we close this campus, we thought it would be appropriate to honor the 58 years of history here up on the hill. And so we were looking for a way to do that, have a big final event. And as we bantered around a number of possibilities, we wanted to have something that invited the community to come back, sort of like a grand homecoming. And of course, something like that needs a name. So we came up with Corby's Last Roar. Corby was our mascot for our athletic teams for quite some time. We're not sure how far back Corby goes. We're still digging on that history, but Corby was our mascot until we joined with UWM, and then our athletics ended because UWM is a Division I institution in sports. So Corby has been hanging out in a closet, hanging out around campus for the past 5 years, 7 years now. And we're going to bring Corby back out of retirement for one last roar.
And I apologize if I missed this, Ron. What Corby is it a cougar or a panther,
Corby's
right?
A cougar.
Okay, cougar. Okay. All right. Because yes. UWM's the Panthers, and so you guys are the Cougars.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Fantastic.
Right.
So, and is that why, I mean, are cougars and panthers relate? Are they part of the feline species? Is that why they did it, or
sure.
Just Waukesha wanted their own branded, you know, identity for their teams?
Waukesha, was separate from the four-year institutions such as UWM and UW-Madison and all. We were part of the UW colleges, and then before that, we originally started as an extension of Madison and the extension program as UW centers across the state.
Neat. Wow, that's terrific. And so, and you've been with the university, you said it was more than, I know I said more than 20 years, but what was the exact number?
So I joined the UW colleges. My first campus was Sheboygan for 1 year back in 2000.
Okay.
So I've been with UW colleges since 2000.
Okay, terrific. And so the event's a long way off, and we're glad to have you here because it sounds like there's an opportunity. What do we currently have in the program in terms of what people could expect at the event?
So we're going to focus mostly on the history and encourage folks to gather and share with one another, meet up with old friends, walk the halls and feel their presence and their history here. So mostly it'll be an open house. People will be welcome to come in, walk through the halls, see displays. We'll have a number of different historical displays about different aspects of the campus life and history over its 58 years. And we're still putting together a few things. We're hoping to have just a short little commemoration program, but nothing too terribly long, because we don't really want that to be the main focus for the day. We just want people to come back, come home, TW Waukesha one last time. We are holding out the possibility that we can end the day a little bit later than the schedule says. Right now, the schedule says from 4 to 8.
Can't have a party ending at 8 o'clock.
Sure. We're hoping to extend that into the dark to go out with a big bang.
Nice.
So I'll leave it at that.
So maybe some fireworks or a digital light show.
We're kind of hoping so.
Sure, sure. Does UW, do they have kind of, is there a digital like program like that? Like I know Carol's.
Not right now. But we've got partners and old friends who.
We can enlist our friends at Carroll University. They have a digital do a digital light show after some of the football games. That's really fun. We were at a high school game at Schneider, and it was pretty impressive. So that'll be a great way to show partnership. So, but I imagine too with some of the programs you have, there'll be a lot of good expressions of talents and the legacy. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious to learn more about the how are we doing on time here, Maxie? Okay, about 3 minutes. So, but yeah, later on the show, I'd love to hear more about the Madrigal dinner that took place. It was a long time tradition. It stopped before you joined. And I know there may be some people sharing memories about that.
So I got
a little
history on that, but it's just history on paper.
Sure, sure. Okay.
Experience.
But yeah, well
hopefully some callers did.
What's that?
Hopefully we can get some.
Yes. So, Madrigal. Because I'd never heard of it, and then I did a little look. It's basically a Christmas time Renaissance era dinner celebration, and mm-hmm. people get dressed up in the Renaissance era, kind of like the Bristol Renaissance Fair, but juxtaposed into a Christmas holiday or a holiday celebration.
Yes, so. It was a very large community event. It matched the campus with the greater Waukesha community.
It was
a big deal.
I had some text messages coming in and say, would the university still, would they have kept their doors open if they'd kept the Madrigal dinner tradition alive?
Oh, it's hard to say.
And why not? What a great show. Sorry, go ahead.
The Madrigal dinners had a force behind it.
Sure.
And when he retired, the program kind of ended. So.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. No.
As many things do.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe we could whip up one for this last Christmas, this last holiday at UW Waukesha. We could enlist some UWM Waukesha, enlist some volunteers maybe at the last second.
Perhaps at the closing event, we could.
There you go. Yeah, even better. Yes. That could be really fun too. So, mm-hmm. so many great. And then we also want to touch on what's the enrollment been in recent years at UW?
So our enrollment probably hit its peak in 2010. We had about 2,000 plus students on campus. In the last few years, we've declined. Coming out of the pandemic, we were down to 700 students, and this year we're around 500 students.
Okay. So, but of course, in its peak, the enrollment was much higher. And we're going to continue that conversation about the history, the peaks and valleys of UWM Waukesha, and as well as this big celebration they're gearing up for, Corby's Last Call. And then next we'll be acting locally, thinking globally, and so much more here on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM. And don't forget the Civic Media app.
Down Georgia Street Arcade, where the poor children play, gathering up charity to help them make their day. For me, I was once their age, once I was young, but I know I had my family to fall back on. Give it up, share it out, yeah, help who you can, I know that you can.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
We're back on This Week in Waukesha. And my tradition continues with Waukesha's favorite son introducing the second segment. That's, of course, Les Paul and Mary Ford with The World is Waiting for the Sunrise. And here in Radio Park, I can't look out any window, so I don't know if the sun has arrived yet. But we certainly feel it here on the show here, especially when I get a chance to connect with my neighbor and friend, Ron Gulata, interim professor at UWM at Waukesha, talking about Corby's Last Call. But first, acting locally, thinking globally. I got three segments here, and I'm going to fly through them so I can make time for Ron and his crew here. Special thanks to the Spring City Garden Club in Waukesha for transforming the downtown planters for winter. Take a look at that. Great effort. And it brings up a bigger issue to me about gardening and farming and really the missed opportunities on again, making, you know, this you hear this making America great again. And what is it from the past that was good? And one thing was mental health, nutrition, neighborliness versus greed, soulfulness and more. Gail Fuller, a Kansas farmer, spoke at the Kansas Farmers Union Conference this week. He and his partner, Lynette Miller, have a message for agriculture. It's firm, serious, and it's loving. If we just heal the land but ignore the people, we will fail. The good news is we can succeed. I see a world with no hunger, a world where wealth is measured not by how much you make or how much you have, rather by how much you give. A world with no money, or at least money as we know it today. True wealth can't be stored in a bank, Gail said, speaking to a room packed with farmers, ranchers, and people who care about agriculture. The true wealth is in the air, the water, the soil. It's biological capital. I see a world where my grandchildren are allowed to learn but aren't educated, not made to fit into the same mold as all the other children. In this world, I don't have to buy my way into heaven, and all are welcome at the table. He said these new and or enlightened stewards are those who learn that we must farm in a way that promotes life, not death. We could be killing the plant that will cure cancer, he said, talking about agriculture that is too chemical dependent and not in tune with the wisdom inherent in nature. The ag landscape has changed. Fuller added, pointing out these statistics. In 1800, 50% of Americans were farmers. In 1945, Americans were growing 45% of their own food in backyard gardens. In 2020, Americans grew 1% of their food. Food security is national security. Are we exposing ourselves to dangerous vulnerabilities if we impart an increasing amount of the real food we eat? You bet we are, he stressed. From growing beef and other livestock to fresh vegetables and more, we are lending ourselves to the mercy of those who actually are producing real food. And we are exposing ourselves to a nutritional deficit as well. Fuller also shared this quote by Jerry Brunetti. We have a crisis in the USA, a health crisis. A health crisis is an ag crisis. We can fix the health crisis. We can't fix the health crisis until we fix the ag crisis. Fuller went on, Americans have the lowest health rating in the developed world thanks to this industrial processed diet. And the fact that we have the most expensive healthcare system in the world, even though it ranks 37th in terms of quality. Gail and Lynette, through their words and actions, are not just complaining about the issues, they are actively addressing them. The couple's vision at Circle 7 by Fuller Farms is growing direct market wholesome food for their community and also providing a place of healing and inspiration for people. And I highly encourage everyone to check out their site,
FullerFieldSchool.com, FullerField, school.com. And yes, they're all the way out in Kansas, but in a city like Waukesha that still has an agrarian tradition, it certainly has the real estate, but it also has good people, that I think there are opportunities for us to take back some of our own farming, growing our own food, and living healthier. And more on this. And then we're also going to switch to another. Now we're going to go to Louisville, Kentucky, where I was this week for a program called Revinalize, a new vinyl siding recycling collaborative that started in Northeast Ohio and has spread to Toronto, to Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and now Louisville. And to celebrate the launch there, the Revinalize had re-sided a house, a community house for people in recovery from addiction and transitioning into, so we say, normal life. And they did a free re-siding job. And a case study and a video commenced, and it demonstrated how everything being teared off, what most of us would call scrap, is gold. They put it in recycling bins, not dumpsters, but recycling bins, where distributors then deliver it to a recycling facility, and they grind it all up, and they send it off to different companies to make new products, including vinyl siding, other polymeric exteriors, electrical conduit, and also basically creating new economies or just opportunities. They're saving tons of money for the contractors who no longer have to pay to have that material removed. They're diverting it from the landfill. And that's a double whammy when you're throwing recyclable materials into the landfill. On a sustainability scorecard, that's a double whammy. And then the siding going back onto that house is siding made from recycled polymers. And so, really exciting. When you think of vinyl siding, you think of plastic. Some think of it as cheap plastic, but it is a high performance product, but it's also highly sustainable. And it's one of the most recyclable products out there. So it's great to see. You talk to these people that were part of that value chain in residing this house, and there hadn't been an opportunity like that in their many years of home remodeling to recycle products in that regard. And so, and again, I think the Waukesha area, a lot of homes are made with and remodeled with vinyl siding. There's definitely, that's something we should take a harder look at, our city government, our local contractors, our recycling facilities, and see what possibilities exist. And then finally, enacting locally, thinking globally. On Thursday, there was a special ceremony at Greedy Park dedicating, while honoring the third anniversary or remembering those that we had lost and those who were victimized by the Christmas parade attack, and also dedicating the new memorial at Greedy Park, which is beautiful, and I can't wait to see it for myself. I missed it because I was attending my daughter's basketball game, a victory for the JV team over at Milwaukee Lutheran. But I certainly, as someone that participated in that parade and was on the city council then, certainly keeping all of those in our hearts. And, as we head into Thanksgiving, we're so grateful for what is truly Waukesha Strong. So many people coming together and commemorating a tragedy and bringing some light from that event as we move forward. How are we doing on time here, Maxie? About 2 minutes. Sounds great. So returning to my main guest, who've been very patient here, Ron Gulata and his team. And I guess I got to start by saying sorry and offering my condolences, because this institution has been a part of your life. And, what are the emotions now as you're transitioning to?
The emotions are rather raw for a lot of folks, and a great deal of uncertainty for many of my fellow faculty members who are having, at whatever age, to, as many people do have to do, reinvent themselves and find new places of employment, some, many cases, new lines of employment. For myself, I was actually supposed to retire last June and got called out of retirement for one more year to help with the campus closing. So I'll be looking forward to that. So I have a very different spin on it.
Sounds great. Well, we're going to hear more about that spin and so much more, especially with Corby's Last Call, as well as local news and events here on This Week in Waukesha on WUK, 540 AM, and the Civic Media app.
Dear one, the world.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. More than 31 million people are expected to fly somewhere for Thanksgiving, and CBS's Chris Van Cleve tells us.
AAA expects the surge of holiday drivers to hit full speed by next Tuesday and Wednesday. Nearly 72 million are estimated to hit the road. Another record.
Donald Trump naming new members of his administration. Here's CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
Late Friday, he made a flurry of cabinet announcements. Among them, Scott Bessent, a billionaire investor and hedge fund manager as Secretary of the Treasury. He'd be key to the president-elect's plan for tariffs on many foreign-made goods. Bessent is openly gay and would be the first gay cabinet member to serve in a Republican administration if confirmed.
Steve Kathan reports who's competing for the Women's Soccer Championship today.
It's the Orlando Pride against the Washington Spirit for the title.
You can watch the match on CBS and Paramount Plus. It begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks outpace Indiana. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks jumped out to an early lead at Fiserv Forum and went on to beat the Pacers 129-117. Another triple-double from Giannis with 10 rebounds, 11 assists, 37 points. The Bucks are now 7-9. Tonight, they host the Charlotte Hornets. Men's college basketball, Wisconsin with an 86-70 victory over Central Florida at the Greenbrier tip-off tournament being held this weekend in Orlando. The Badgers remain undefeated at 6-0, and they're going to face Pittsburgh tomorrow at 4:30 to wrap up their trip. The boys' high school state football tournament ended last night with Green Bay's Bayport High taking the Division I state title with a 25-18 win over Muskego. NFL, Packers and 49ers tomorrow. San Francisco without their starting quarterback, Brock Purdy. Brandon Allen at quarterback, but they still have a lot of experience on offense.
You know, they got a veteran group and a lot of guys that's, you know, top players in this league. It's going to be a big game, you know, get to see on Sunday.
That's the Packers' Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, lots of clouds and a high near 43. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 35. Mostly cloudy and a high near 50 for Sunday. Sunday night, slight chance of rain, a low around 42. And rain is likely for Monday with a high near 49.
Right now, 35.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, the YouTuber. They're likely, this is just me wildly speculating, might have been a wee bit of a gentleman's agreement. Try to make it look good, but nobody's actually going to try to knock anybody out.
I actually put a bet on that, and I bet it for Jake Paul to win, just because I knew it was staged. Mike Tyson was going to do what he's going to do. Clearly obvious he could have knocked him out. He just didn't want to do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us on Monday. We'll take a look back at what made news over the weekend and get you ready for Thanksgiving week. Tourist travel tips. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This message is a warning and a reminder for any surviving Jedi. Trust in the Force. Do not return to the temple. That time has passed. And our future is uncertain. We will each be challenged. Our trust, our faith, our friendships. But we must persevere. And in time, a new hope will emerge.
You're listening to This Week in Waukesha with your host, Don Brown, here on WAUK 540 AM in the Civic Media app. If you haven't downloaded the app already, do so. Then you can take This Week in Waukesha and all the great WAUK and Civic Media programming wherever you go. And with over 20 stations around the state, there's something for everybody, especially as you're traveling. And that was a little different for beginning for me. Instead of music, I played what's been really trending on social media, and it's that scene from Max, you probably know better, the movie that precedes in the chronology of Star Wars A New Hope, with Obi-Wan Kenobi talking about the fall of the Empire. And with those of us who were not on the winning team in this past election, it's very much how we feel. And it definitely, hearing that tugs at the heartstrings, and that hope continues. But, you know, I talked about remembering the Waukesha Parade tragedy, and then, of course, we're here with Ron Goulart and his team talking about the fall of UWM Waukesha. You know, a lot of sadness and reason for sadness, but then we're also approaching the Thanksgiving season, and how we temper all that is important. And we have our first caller. Is that correct, Max, who's been very patient?
Yeah, we do.
Cool. And what's the caller's name again?
It's on here. It says Michael.
Michael. Okay, Michael. Hello? Hello, are you there?
Oh, hi. This is Sue Kalinka.
Oh, Sue, yes.
Am I the first caller?
You're the first caller. Yeah, Ron's laughing. Yeah, go ahead, Sue. Sorry about that. It said Michael on the phone.
Right. Hello. Hello. Welcome. Or good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling in. I've worked at UWM at Waukesha now for 20 plus years, along with Ron and Ann and Margaret, and just wanted to call in and tell, you know, maybe a memory or two of what has impacted me. So several years ago, we have what's called a study day, and it's a day between our final exams and our last day of classes. And we noticed, you know, we just didn't have a ton of students coming for study day, and therefore we didn't have a ton of faculty coming to help students. And it was just this, you know, pretty quiet day on campus. And we really wanted to make a difference and change that, because we knew that our students would be best served by coming to campus, studying in the library, being with their faculty, that sort of thing. So a core group of dedicated faculty decided to what they coined Pancake Day, and we serve, and it's now been going on for decades, pancakes on study day for, you know, could be 10, 20, 100 students. How many ever show up that day, they have, you know, a nice breakfast and, you know, faculty and staff there to greet them. Oftentimes on a Friday when they didn't need to be on campus, but sometimes even on a Saturday, and yet our students came back and then they spent the day. And we really knew that that was an important way for them to get their studying off the ground.
That's great. I love that. So, and Sue, you'll be pleased to know you're actually the first to be able to speak, and that's on me, not on that we have yet to hear from Margaret and Ann, who are, shall we say, in studio with Ron over there at UWM Waukesha. Any comments on Pancake Day from your gallery, Ron? Or other similar memories?
Yeah, I remember, well, I'm a former, actually, student as well.
Is this Anne?
This is Margaret.
Margaret, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Margaret.
Yep, and so, yeah, I was a student, but Pancake Day wasn't there when I was a student. It came about when I returned to be the campus recruiter. And what she didn't mention is, you know, a lot of what they served actually was brought in by the faculty and staff.
Nice.
So it wasn't something that was funded by the campus. It was something that the faculty and staff really came together to do and to really, again, serve the students. And that's the feel that you get when you're here on campus with, you know, with others. And I think this last roar for Corby, I think that's what we really want to, come together and let those people support one another and, you know, take advantage of memories and the times that they had together, the good feelings they had on campus. So many different things come to mind. But yeah, that pancake breakfast, just one more way the faculty really did support, and those kind of things really, they really stand out. So many things like that.
So even though the Corby's Last Roar starts late in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, do you envision pancakes being part of the food offerings? To wax sentimental? we could use some volunteers, maybe. Yeah, a pancake team.
Yes. And that is, you know, indeed how we did those pancake breakfasts in the morning. It was all volunteers, people showing up to set up and cook the pancakes for the students, cook them to order.
Wow.
So those were fun. Those were fun. I've been doing pancake breakfast. How long has that been going on, Sue?
Well, it seems like it's been at least 10 or 15 years. But yeah, I think, Ryan, you were one of the first pancake flippers in the group.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, so. Any other memories to share, Sue, that come to mind?
Well, I think another big impact that we had on our students was this idea of a distinguished lecture series. And so when I started there in 2000, I came into a situation in student life where they had booked an outstanding speaker. Some students and staff had found, her name was Judy Shepherd, and she was the mother of Matthew Shepherd, and she was coming to speak to the campus. And that was outstanding. We had our theater held 300 people, and I had a waiting list. And so we just knew that we made quite an impact. And so the student government actually took it upon themselves to make an annual series. And their comment to me, if I can recall it from 20 plus years ago, was something along the lines of, we want folks to know that we are a university that brings in national speakers.
Yeah.
This isn't an extension of high school. This is something where, you know, something can impact our students, but on a smaller scale. You know, our theater only held 300, so you really felt like you were part of a, you know, a smaller kind of an audience. And so they funded it. And we have had a distinguished lecture every year since, a couple years when we, as Ron mentioned, enrollment was bigger. We had a couple of distinguished lectures, but in addition to Judy Shepherd, I think the one that made the most impact on me is when we were able to bring in Dr. Temple Grandin, who is just a very knowledgeable person in her field of animal husbandry, but also she's just one of the strongest, if not the strongest, advocate for autism awareness and working with young adults with autism.
Neat.
And so that made a huge impact. You know, just most recently we brought in, we had a reading circle with our students, but they were able to read a book, and then have reading circles, not just the fellow students, but faculty, staff, community members, all, you know, volunteer, not part of a course. They did this on their own, and they had these reading circles, and then we were able to bring in the author who was, Darren Bell. And so that was just our kind of last in terms of like a lecture. And then we'll continue in our spring with our big distinguished lecture again. So being able to bring in those national speakers, sometimes our experts were, you know, right next door. They were from UW-Madison or UW-Milwaukee. Sometimes they were from out of the state. It depended on who the committee chose. But in addition to coming to that evening lecture, we gave students the opportunity, they would have a classroom visit.
So could you imagine, you know, being in a classroom of 25 or 30 and having Dr. Temple Grandin being your guest speaker for that class session, right? Or, you know, we would have either a small dinner or a small reception, and the students can just go right up to these folks that they'd only read about in their textbooks. So I think that has been something else that's been a huge source of pride, being that it was, you know, originally a student initiative.
Yeah.
So that was also, it's going to be one of those great memories that I will take once we close down the campus.
I really appreciate you sharing that, Sue. And that really is a great, you know, talk about a legacy or, you know, a unique selling point, especially for those that elect to go to college locally, knowing that you have that, you know, you can literally touch these great personalities or these national, you know, this distinguished speaker series, and the fact that the students drove it. You know, we were talking earlier about the Madrigal dinner, the Renaissance era Christmas dinner. And it reminds me of a favorite high school teacher used to say during the Renaissance, it was the students that were really driving the hunger for education. They would force the professors to not, you know, cut the class early or to even extend the class if there was, you know, good content being shared. And the idea and the whole idea of the pancake breakfast with the faculty putting their own resources into it, and then now with the distinguished speaker series with the students really driving it and demanding more and helping to fund it. You know, those are really some great marks on the college's legacy that I would imagine not very many people, even here in Waukesha, knew about or know about.
Right.
Certainly, I would expect a lot of people around Waukesha who have been here for decades will remember the Madrigal dinners. It was a very big community event. So perhaps a caller out there can.
Yes, please. If you have a memory,
share a story with us.
Sure. Now, I know, and we haven't heard from Ann yet. Ann, do you have a memory to share? Ann Mitchell Moore?
I have a bunch of them. So I started out here as a student way back in 1985. I played basketball here for 2 years.
Nice.
I met my husband here. Then I transferred down to UWM and finished up all of my education down there. So I have the perspective of being a student, and then I started teaching here in 1998. So I've been teaching here ever since. And I really enjoy going back and watching my students play basketball and being a part of that and watching the plays. And my husband and I brought our kids here to games and also to plays as well. So it was a really great meeting place.
Sure.
There were lots of things going on. So I have a unique perspective from a student. Actually, our son also was a student here a couple of years ago.
Oh, neat.
He just had a Friendsgiving with people that he went to UW Waukesha with. And my core friends are still from this group. So it was a huge part of my life. So it's sad to see that it's gone.
I can only imagine to begin. I can't even begin to feel your pain. Max, how are we doing on time? Minute left. So Margaret's got, Ann Mitchell Moore has more memories to share. And I know Margaret's also, she's continuing to work in academia at is it Madison College now or Madison Area Technical College? I forget what they call it now.
I'm currently at Madison College.
Okay.
Yeah, I work in the tech services area.
Awesome.
But recruitment side. Yeah.
We're going to talk more about that, the yin and yang for you, as well as hearing more from Interim Dean Ron Gulata, and so much more here in This Week in Waukesha on WAUK, 5:40 a.m. in the Civic Media app.
a voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Hey, we're back on This Week in Waukesha, and who could forget the Beach Boys classic, Be True to Your School? I was upset because I picked out a version that skipped the little marching band interlude there. I like the raw, the original Beach Boy, you know, because I had a lot of feeling and a lot of school spirit in it without the marching band impact. But I do appreciate there, as you hear the song, they threw a little... On Wisconsin riff, the Badgers fight song in there. So I do appreciate that. Nice work on that, Mighty Max Martinson. And obviously a very fitting song for my guests, Ron Gulata, Margaret Millspaugh, and Ann Mitchell Moore. And I believe it was Ann had talked about how she went to school here, met her husband here, continued to return to UWM Waukesha for basketball games. She played basketball there. And then she mentioned, I believe her son had also gone to school there. And so, you know, two generations of tradition and fond memories and great learning experiences. And so this has to be very, so that song goes out to all of you and the memories you share. And, you know, I wanted to ask Margaret, who's now, because I believe you went to school there and then you went to teach there. Now you're at Madison College, which is, as I understand, is a thriving, you know, 2-year college. Has great enrollment, excellent programs. I've had clients that have done work with them on the recruiting side and the tech side, and so many great. It's got to be kind of a mixed bag for you, right?
It is. I got my bug for education, you know, right here at UW Waukesha. I came as a returning adult. I was here from 2000 to 2004, and I thought I was going to go on to pharmacy school, and you know, found a new love while I was here, and which many students do, and which is that. I mean, that's kind of one of the great things about this this institution. It's very supportive of learning about all kinds of different things. Yes, education. But then life and, you know, so many other things that come with it, and faculty and staff that are willing to share experiences and really give students a bit more, almost sometimes a part of themselves in, you know, sharing their passion for what they do, and students getting that great connection. But so then I went on to Whitewater, finished in a communications degree. And then I actually came back in wanting to do advising and registration and recruitment. So I did a little stint at UWM and then kept passing the campus every day and decided I needed to come back and really promote the campus, and became the campus recruiter. Loved it. Wow. And, you know, at the time, getting to see so many students, having the opportunity, we were just talking about those kind of, you know, special things. Sue talked about the distinguished lecture, and here you have freshmen and sophomore that are driving that. If you were on a larger campus, those students may not have had that opportunity, you know, really getting to experience, you know, that fun stuff. So went on to continue doing recruiting here, and then moved to the central office to actually help recruitment across all 13 of the two-year campuses, and to promote all of them, which was a great experience to see each institution in their own little community, just like our Waukesha space, and how much of an impact they made on so many students, which was really, really exciting to see. And then, once we started getting gobbled up by the larger campuses, still, hoping to keep that same theme going on, I had to look for other opportunities. And luckily enough, I was able to continue at Madison College for really in that same kind of supporting recruitment and enrollment. And which again, that passion for that two-year campus and supporting those students and giving them, again, that unique opportunity. Madison College is a little bit different because they're able to have those general education courses. So they do something similar, but also providing that tech side. So even more, providing more opportunity. So, hopefully, and, honestly, that's why I live in Wisconsin, is really because of the education. I came from California. My children were in grade school at the time. And really, education was something solid that we were looking for. And Wisconsin stood out for us. So, yeah, and it hasn't been disappointing.
Sure. And we've seen some, I guess you'd say, backward trends in terms of education. Some would view the Act 10 and other developments and there's other schools closing around the state. Because you mentioned, is that part of that disappointment? Do we see a decline in the quality of education in the state because of these actions from the top?
I don't know about a decline necessarily. I think, I don't know, maybe we had such a great, support for it. I think the passion is still there, and I think it is still there, but, of course we need to be aware of, the population, and, we know there was a trend in, our traditional age high school students, the population just was, not as, didn't keep growing. And we have to be, mindful of that and prepare for it.
Sure.
And maybe, we didn't plan quite as well as we should have, and hoped that, because we always have that returning, student population as well, mm-hmm. which I think, is a great thing. Obviously, it did me well. And I think we just, maybe we just kind of overzealous a little bit, and we just got a little too big, and then of course had to pull it back.
Sure.
I don't.
Go ahead.
I don't see a decline as much as I see a little bit less flexibility. One of the beauty, as Margaret talked about, was that students could explore different majors and different ideas, and they didn't have to settle in on a major from day one. And coming to UW-Waukesha, that was a gateway to all the four-year institutions in the state. So, for example, when my brother came here, he was originally going to come here and then go down to UWM and major in computer engineering. But after spending time here and talking to instructors and taking some classes, realized that the program that he was really interested in terms of computers was actually at Whitewater.
Okay.
So he transferred to Whitewater.
Got it.
And then got an internship at Northwestern Mutual, and then spent his whole career there. And he never would have done that if he would have just gone.
Sorry to interrupt. We're going to go into our final break for the hour, but I want to continue this conversation, especially about the flexibility. And this week in Waukesha on WUK 540 AM and the Civic Media app with our good friends from UWM at Waukesha. Do not go away.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll talk to Jeff Mandel of Law Forward on potential discipline against disgraced former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.